Joshua chapter 5, and I'm going to begin reading with verse 13. Joshua chapter 5 and verse 13. Joshua chapter 5 and verse 13. And it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there stood a man over against him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went unto him and said unto him, Art thou for us or for our adversaries? And he said, Nay, but as captain of the host of the Lord am I now come. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and did worship and said unto him, What saith my Lord unto his servant? And the captain of the Lord's host said unto Joshua, Loose thy shoe from off thy foot, for the place whereon thou standest is holy. And Joshua did so. This passage of Scripture has some unusual accounts in it before that Joshua ever reaches this place. The children of Israel had just come to a time of one of the greatest celebrations of their life in 40 years. They had wandered through the wilderness, they had waited, and they had wasted away for a 40-year period of time. But now they come to that place where they're ready to enter into the land that God has promised. God has given them the promise that when they go into that land, He'll go before them and fight their enemies and drive their enemies out. So they have every right to celebrate. I think that it's much like a Christian when they reach the end of their life. Even though we look and we see all the things around us, and we're sad for those that are left behind, there's also on our heart a time of celebration, because we know they're inheriting everything that God has promised for them. So there's a time of celebration that takes place. They're rejoicing in the fact that God has put the wilderness behind them now. They're going to a land that flows with milk and honey. But more important than that, they're inheriting the promises of God and claiming the promises of God. But after that, they get finished celebrating. Joshua makes a journey. He goes to spy out the land, if you will. And as you enter from what is present-day Jordan into the Holy Land, Israel, the first city that you encounter is the city of Jericho. Jericho was one of the oldest cities in the world. It had some of the most fierce warriors known to mankind. So here they go from a time of celebration, a time where God has promised them a land that flows with milk and honey, and the first thing they're faced with is a city that they feel like they cannot overcome. The city is so strong. The city is so big. And they seem so inadequate. You know, isn't it funny how things happen in the Christian life? Usually after every time of celebration in our life, we usually have a city that we have to conquer. There's usually a city there that seems too big for us to overcome. Usually there's an enemy that's sitting there that we feel as though the enemy is bigger than what we are. And that was the condition and the position of Joshua at this point. And he knew with that city that he would either have to overcome it or else they would have to turn back and go to Egypt. They would either have to stand by faith and fight the enemy or they'd have to return back to the very place that God had brought them out of. That's the way it is sometimes in life. We face cities that seem so big and we feel like there's no way around it. And we feel as though the only way we can get through it is we must conquer it. God will bring things into your life that even though you know you're saved, even though you rejoice in the Lord, even though you've celebrated in God, there'll be things that will come that will seem so big. And you'll know you have no choice but to conquer it. But for some reason, Joshua could not get his eyes off the city. The city just seemed impossible. The city seemed so big. The city seemed so hard. And what was he to do? So he makes the journey back, saying to himself, this city is bigger than what I am. This city is stronger than what I am. There's no way that we can conquer the city. But then he meets somebody, the captain of the Lord's host. And what happens is Joshua gets his eyes off the city and gets his eyes on the captain of the Lord's host. And suddenly he realizes, I'm having a face-to-face encounter with Jesus Christ himself. Here is the mighty warrior of God that has come to comfort his heart, to say to him, I'm bigger than the city. I'm bigger than your problem. I'm bigger than the thing that seems impossible. And he says, when we meet the captain of the Lord's host, that's where our faith is increased. What city is it in your life? Some, it's financial struggles. Just seems like you're at a place where you can't get out. Maybe you created it yourself, but it's still just as big. Others, it's physical problems, and they feel there's no way that they can overcome it. Sometimes it's not one thing wrong that anyone has done. It can be spiritual problems, problems in a church, problems in a home life. Something that seems so big that there's no way around it. But then you meet the captain. And the city doesn't look so big. When I was down in Florida, there's a number of the folks here that was down in the camp meeting there. God did some unusual things that week. I'm not going to tell you all of them, but I do want to mention one in particular. There was a pastor, a young pastor that was there. He'd launched out by faith, started a great work, and was in a city near an Army base, Air Force and Army base, both was located near him. And, of course, the church was growing and God was blessing. And then came the threat of war. Their particular bases are two of the bases that's used for training for desert warfare. So every leader he had in the church was shipped off to Iraq. He was left with a shell of a church, because about 80% of his church worked on the military bases. And when it comes time for war, they shipped out. Now they're coming back. But that doesn't change the fact when 80% of your people leave, what happens to your offerings? 80% of your offerings are gone. And when you're a full-time pastor in a church that you planted, in a struggling church, having no funding from a denomination or any other church, you've gone there by faith, you're conquering things and you're celebrating, and then suddenly, overnight, your people's gone. Not because they're mad, not because anyone's upset, their occupation, they serve our country, they're gone. He came to that meeting. They started shipping them out in January. No paycheck in January. No paycheck in February. He had gone for a number of weeks without any pay. I didn't know any of this. On Thursday night, God just moved in a... It was strange. It was different, but it was so special and sweet. You know me. I preach to you all as much as anyone. I don't have a tendency to preach too long. I try not to anyway. But that night, they just wouldn't let me stop. And I preached and I preached and I preached. And that little fellow, I didn't know what he was going through. Clean-cut man. His little wife had the weight of the world on her. Kids sitting on that pew beside of him. Man, he'd jump up and he'd shout in the middle of the sermon, "Preach on," he'd say, and I'd keep preaching. After service, the pastor was kind enough to tell me. He said, "You know that boy that was getting blessed so?" And then he told me the story that I just told you. I said, "My, imagine that. Praising God like that in the middle of one of the most difficult times of his life." We got ready to leave and he met me out on the front porch. Candy and Mom and Dad had gone on to the vehicle and I was standing on the porch and he yelled at me. He said, "I need to see you, preacher." And he came up to me and he said, "You'll never know what this week has meant to me." He said, "You'll never know how God has blessed me and helped me." He said, "I don't have any money." He said, "They were taking an offering for your ministry tonight, and I don't have any money." And he said, "I was sitting there saying, God, I wish that I could sow some seed in that preacher's life." And I knew he was building up to something. And oh, I was just heartbroken because I thought, he's going to try to give me something of value, and he needs that far worse than what I do. So he reached out a little envelope, had a card in it. I've never seen one. It looks like a credit card, but it's a gift card. Comes from Visa. You can use it in any store in the country. Just swipe it like a Visa card had so much money on. He said, "Preacher, somebody gave me this as a Christmas gift." And he said, "I don't know what's left on it." He said, "But it's all I got." I said, "Son, I can't take that from you." He said, "Preacher, you've got to take it from me." He said, "The Lord told me I've got a battle plan for you. And you bless that preacher and I'll bless you." I said, "Son, I can't take that. We've got plenty. The Lord is blessed and He's helped us." He said, "Preacher, I'm not doing it for you. I'm doing it for myself." He said, "God's bigger than everything we're facing." I heard from that old boy the other day. He told me before he got in his car to go home, somebody sitting in that church had heard what was happening, and a gentleman walked up and said, "You don't know me, son. God laid this on my heart," and said he just handed him a check and walked away. It was for $5,000. I checked that card. There was only $2 on it. But how did I think that was a pretty good trade? Blessed be God. $2 for $5,000. I think He made a good trade. I'm here to tell you something, folks. God says He's bigger than the city. It doesn't matter what we're facing. God's bigger than that. That's your city. How big does it seem? Doesn't matter how large it seems to us. If we get our eyes off the city and get our eyes on the captain, then the city never looks too big. God deals with impossibilities. Then come the compliance of His faith. When he saw the captain, he laid his sword down. I read that several times this week. That was his only means of fighting. His only way of defending himself was the sword that he had. And he took the only weapon that he had to overcome the enemy and laid it down at the feet of the captain. What was that saying? That saying, sometimes faith is better than fighting. Did you get that? Faith is better than fight. We just fight the devil and fight the devil, wear ourselves out, and we get weak in body and we get tired and we just keep fighting and fighting, and the whole time we could just get our eyes on the captain and put our faith in the captain, we would understand our faith in Him is greater than our ability to fight. Is there proof of that? There sure is. Hebrews 11:30 tells us why the walls of Jericho came tumbling down. Do you know why? Because by faith. You read it. Doesn't say by fighting. It says by faith. They marched around the walls. What's that mean? That captain said, "Here's the battle plan. It makes no sense to you, but here's what I want you to do." He told them when to march, how to march, what to do, and none of it made any sense. But Joshua, he never fought the captain of the Lord's host. He said, "No matter how it may seem to me, I'll do what you want me to do." Listen, folks, sometimes God will ask us to do things that at first it may seem ridiculous to us. We may wonder what kind of a battle plan that is. But the key to all of it is this: go by faith in what the captain says, and you'll always win the victory. We try to do it of ourselves. All we'll do is make a mess of it. It'll fall to pieces. Sometimes it's hard to operate by faith. Sometimes it's hard to step out in places and do things that you don't want to do. Make moves that you don't want to make. But when we demonstrate our faith, God will bless it. We have one of the widows here in the church. I know she won't mind me saying this. But right now she's trying to sell her home. Trying to get another location. Cora's having a tough time right now. But you know, I've got a funny feeling, Cora. If we could just get our eyes on the captain tonight, get some other people marching around the city for you. It may not make a lot of sense to us right now, but I think God could send just the right buyer to her home, get her moved in a nice place where she's safe and secure,
doesn't have to worry about a lot of the things that she can't take care of. Hey, listen, if there's no battles in your life, you just come see me after church and I'll show you about 100 people I know of that's got some real battles. And they're just looking for someone to step out by faith on their behalf, somebody to join hands with them. Not only did Joshua march around that city, there was people with him. See, really, I got to thinking about this. It was a whole lot easier for Joshua to do it than the people, than the priest. He was the one that had the face-to-face encounter. All they had was his word that he had seen the captain of the Lord's host. But they said, Joshua, we'll take you at your word. And that's what they did. Jericho was the key to the entire promised land. Had they not conquered Jericho, had they not stepped out by faith, by the way, I hammer on that hard tonight because it still takes faith to please God. He's not impressed with our bank accounts, with our education. He's looking for our faith. And even the Scripture teaches when the Lord Jesus Christ comes again, shall He find faith in all the earth? He's looking for people that will believe Him, that will trust Him in the midst of adversity and troubles and trials. They'll still look to the captain and take Him at His word. That's what He's looking for. What city is it in your life? What do you have your eyes on? What seems too big for you? What seems impossible to overcome? God still does the impossible. He's able to. He wants to. And He will. But you have to look to the captain. You can't look to the city. Will you stand together with us all over the sanctuary? Brother Howard is coming. Whatever you have tonight, Brother Howard, as he's coming. I don't know what your battle is tonight. I don't know what you're facing, but I know that God has power to overcome it. I know the Lord is able. I had a long sermon prepared tonight. It may not be a long sermon, but it's the right sermon. I think there's a lot of fellows, ladies, just like that preacher boy. You stepped out of faith. The devil says, look at you now. You're in a place you're not going to make it. You know what you ought to do? You ought to come and trade in whatever you've got. Just give it to God tonight and leave it there. He's able to help you. With your heads bowed for just a moment, no one looking on. As Denise plays just a verse softly tonight. I don't know your need, but I know my God. Hallelujah, Lord, we thank You for Your presence. How many of you here tonight that you're a Christian and you know you're saved, but you're facing a city right now? It's so big. And you feel so small. You just slip your hand up where you're at and say, preacher, I sure am. I'm facing a big city and I need prayer. God bless you. God bless you. Bless you, sis. How many others? God bless you, sis. God bless you, brother. Bless your heart. God bless your heart. How many others? Just slip it up right now. God bless you. Bless your heart. I know you folks love the Lord. This isn't a sign of weakness. It's just calling the troops together to rally around you. To say, I want people to lock hands with me. I'll march around my Jericho. By faith that the walls can come tumbling down. Preacher, I'm facing a real big city right now. Too big for me. And I need prayer.